Today in the studio, folks, I got a red treat for you.
What's that?
Rudy Moore. Even though it's spelled M-A-W-E-R, it is pronounced Moore.
Yep.
As in more money.
Yep.
More red.
Yep.
And we were talking earlier. I said, dude, tell me about the day you laid your eyes on that jacket.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a real outrageous red brand, finding an outrageous red jacket, it's not the easiest of tasks. So I'm like, finally found this. Sent it to my assistant. I said, give me four.
But you didn't say, you know, when you first laid eyes on it, you weren't necessarily looking for it. You didn't say, I want a jacket just like this. And you're like, oh my God, I found it. You discovered it somehow.
Yep.
And as soon as you laid your eyes on it, what'd you think?
I said, this is the one. This is what I needed.
It's like my you find cold places to go just so you can wear it, don't you?
Exactly. I live in Florida, so I'm like, every time I travel, I get to pull it out.
What kind is it? Looks like a Montclair or some
shit.
Yeah,
no, it's not like a crazy designer. I can't even remember the brand. I just found it online, and they actually do a couple of cool versions, so I got like four of all of them just so I have backups.
Everything's red for you. Yeah. Why?
Well, our brand started red, and you know, we kind of go all in eventually. So we went all in with the red, and a big kind of part for us, the belief system around it is building, we call it the Red Life, the brand name, right? And it's building a life that is different, right? A life, kind of a play on the Matrix, right? The red pill that you can achieve and create your dream life, and you don't want to be held down by society and what the norm is, and you need to step out of that. And I really want to empower the world and entrepreneurs to build the life of their dreams versus what they, you know, think and get forward into is what how life should be.
Why do you want to do that?
Because I did that and it changed my life and let me impact millions of people and create. You only get one life, right? You only get one life and you only get a chance to impact people and change lives. And there's a lot of, I think, amazing people out there that don't know their true potential. And, you know, having the cars, the houses, the freedom, the money, the travel, the jets is awesome.
You got the jets too?
Not yet. I can ride on them, but not the jets yet. But soon. But it's like the freedom that gives you, but it's cool. But the ability then to give other people that freedom and other people that understanding and vision that they can impact the world and change their own life and their families, that's super fulfilling to me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So how old are you?
31.
So 31 years ago, you were born in like some
small town in England. Yeah. Leicester.
Leicester.
Yep. Yep.
Leicester, UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it gray?
Yeah. Always gray. Still is. Yeah. That's why I left.
And so you were raised about, you know, let's say 10 years old, you're running around eating Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah.
When did you start saying like, hey dude, I got to get to America?
Oh, well, yeah. So I remember I came to America a couple of times because my mom's cousin moved out here to San Fran. And I kept asking to go back as soon as I went, because I'm like, everything's bigger in America. Everyone's happier and they're more energetic. And then I remember at one point.
Why do you think that is though? Because again, when I went to London, everything seemed a little gray.
Yeah, but London's 10 times better than most of the UK.
When I went there, dude, when someone says, how was the food? I think, dude, everything was like had gravy on it, or it was like kind of a gray.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're still, a lot of them still living in Victorian times.
Are there no sunny days in London?
There's like a couple of years when you're lucky. Yeah.
So it's rainy there.
Yeah, it's great. It's always dull. That's the problem, right? It's always dull. It's like just always
And you
dull.
Weren't. Were you always like flamboyant and red?
Yeah, I was always different for sure. Like I remember one of my childhood memories is it's the World Cup and obviously soccer, super important to most people. I hated soccer. I never played. I played basketball. I played basketball for my city. I was so good. So I didn't play soccer, and I just decided to wear a Brazil top every day during the World Cup at school and was hated because they beat England. So it was like I was always trying to be different and controversial.
Now it says world-renowned entrepreneur, expert marketer, investor, and considered to be one of the world's top Facebook ads and funnel experts.
Mm-hmm.
You built two multi-million dollar businesses by the age of 27.
Mm-hmm.
Not seven, folks. Seven. 27 years old. And you've built and scaled several multi-million dollar businesses since in the past 5 years, and is currently the CEO of one of the world's leading direct response marketing agencies. And you just do that for people.
We run the ads. Yeah, we take over the marketing. We help educate a lot of businesses on how to do it in-house themselves, and then for some businesses, we'll do it for them, right?
Now, if there's a business out there not marketing, how what would you say to those people?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you have a super scalable business until you can figure out the marketing piece, right? And I always say to the entrepreneur, I'm like, hey, it's your job as the CEO, as the founder, if you believe in your vision and your products and your messaging and what you do, it's your job to get it out to the world. And there's no better way than marketing and sales to do that. So it's like your responsibility. Sadly, most people, they create a cool product or idea, and then that's all they do with it. And then it sits there for years and gathers dust.
And you, it says here, CEO of Ty Lopez Brands.
Yeah. So me and Ty, you know, the last few years.
Ty's a smart dude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you're no longer with Ty?
Well, I was full time with him.
Why wouldn't you just stick with him?
Because I had all my own stuff before, and I was a big part of that for a couple of years, but like I already had my own stuff. I had like 40 employees, and it's just, I think when you're an entrepreneur and born entrepreneur.
So like you want to be the top dog.
Sure. I mean, you don't.
Who doesn't?
I say you don't play in the NBA not to win the NBA. Everyone asks me, why do you want to be a billionaire? Because I'm open that that's my goal. I'm like, why would I not want to be a billionaire? Like, you don't play in the NBA not to win the championships, right?
Yeah.
Like, so that's how I see life and business. Yeah.
So if you were to be a basketball player, which one would you be?
I still play. We play every Saturday. Yeah.
Which player?
Yeah. I mean, I was a big Kobe fan. So
he's purple and gold.
I know. Yeah. That's the sad part.
Aren't you freaking red?
Well, I got the Jordan here. So
you got to have Jordan.
Yeah. You got to have Jordan. But
maybe that's my age, because I always think, what about you? Jordan, dude.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant was cool, but Michael Jordan.
Well,
dude.
I grew up watching Kobe. Jordan retired. Well,
that's probably why. You're a little younger.
Yeah,
so Kobe was the hero.
If I was. But yeah, a few years older, it would be Jordan for sure.
Dude, and Jordan was a cool son of a bitch. Still is, actually,
yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, Michael Jordan's, I think, the GOAT of basketball.
I mean,
like LeBron, I don't care. Maybe it's my age. I don't know.
I'm not. I agree. I mean, Kobe was just because of my age. But yeah, Jordan, we have a big poster in our office with him. And
well, for your age, though, Kobe is the GOAT. And he's probably questionably, you know, equal to Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. He was pretty damn good.
He's close, yeah.
He was getting better, though, man. Tragic short life.
Sad, yeah.
Now, would you run around in a helicopter when you were advised not to?
Probably not.
That's what apparently happened.
Yeah, I had.
I mean, who knows what really happened? But dude, like, that's just sad, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
back to the story.
Okay.
So you're over in. I'm trying to paint a picture. You're over in London. You're not wearing all red at this time.
No.
You're just regular old Rudy Moore.
Yep.
Regular Rudy.
Regular
at
Rudy.
This point. Now, but you weren't regular, but
no,
you were not, you weren't this.
Red was my favorite color, though, so I probably was wearing red.
Okay.
A little bit.
But not flashy.
Not as flamboyant,
right,
as you said.
So at some point you decided, I got to get showmanship level.
Yeah.
What choice did you make to do that?
Well,
and more importantly, why can't more people do that? Because I always tell people, dude, number one, you got to be a character.
Yeah.
If you ask somebody about me, they'll say he's a character.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say you're a character.
Yeah.
At some point you had to choose to be a character. And my recommendation to everybody is become a character.
Yep. And I mean, it comes down to what I said. It's like limiting beliefs. It's what society ingrains. Because I mean, in your childhood, you're actually ingrained the opposite, right? Like if you're loud in school or funny all the time or distracting all the time, what do your teachers tell you? You're the bad kid, right? And if you want to be, you want to dress different, you're the bad kid. You can't dress different. You have to be in a, I was lucky. I went to one of the few schools in England with no uniform. Right, everyone else looks the same, and I didn't want to go to a school with a uniform. I don't know why, as a kid. So I think, and then
did your parents listen to you?
Yeah, they let me do whatever I wanted. Yeah,
that was nice.
That was nice. Yeah.
Why is that?
I think because of their background, and they were pro in sport.
Were they hippies?
No, they were athletes.
And they let you do whatever you want.
They were too busy on their own. They were. I mean, my mom was a gold medalist. She was off racing. My dad was the Great Britain team manager. So I think they were. They always believed in freedom. They believed that because they grew up in sport, that, hey, let's empower him to make his own decisions. That's what they've always said. And I think that's a big...
Worked out.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, I mean, you've done well financially, at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows when people... Because you see people that are running around and they're rich and they got all the fancy shit. Are they happy though?
Yeah, of course.
Because there's a lot of, I know a lot of people that like deep down they got money, but they're not happy.
Yeah.
And they ask, and they always ask me, dude, what makes you so happy all the time?
Oh, really?
And okay. I'm like, dude, you kidding me? I have a level of appreciation for life just as the basic core. Yep. Like I wake 100%. Up in the morning, I'm fucking pumped.
Yep.
Why? Because I woke up.
Well, that's when you asked me the Kobe question when I get on the helicopter. No, because I always weigh up that part, right? Like it's not, for me, it's, I already achieved now more than I thought I could ever achieve. Because back in the UK, if you made $1 million and drove a Range Rover, you're a baller. That's like the success level. And but out here, that's nothing, right? It's, and I did that by 26 years old. And then I'm like, hanging around with people doing 10, 20, 30 million. And I'm like, I can do that too. And then you hang around with people doing 100 million. You're like, I can do that too. Right. And it's, yeah. I mean, for me, people ask the same question. Why don't you just retire? And I'm like, I couldn't think of anything worse. Like that's the last thing I want to do because Sunday night I wake up Sunday night. I'm excited to go in the office Monday morning with like my 40, 50 staff there and work on our vision. Right. And I wake up excited to get up, get changed, go play sport and then go in the office that day. So happiness is purpose in my opinion. Right. Like if you have purpose, you have happiness and I have a lot of purpose.
Now, Ty Lopez struck it big, I would say.
Mm-hmm. He's crushing it, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, awesome. And again, smart dude, Ty Lopez.
Yeah.
So, when you were working with him, were you like, you said CEO?
We were co-CEOs of the holding company together.
So, you must know him well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys used to hang all over the place.
Yeah.
So,
less so because of COVID, more online on WhatsApp. But, yeah.
But, I mean, like when he's in Denmark, like, where were you?
I got invited many times, but I was in the US and during COVID I was getting my green card. So I couldn't actually leave the US. I was like quarantined for 2 years, but yeah, we spent the last 3 years together, most days speaking. And he, you know, he helped me think bigger and obviously was a great mentor and it was an amazing like experience doing all that with him and seeing that growth. And, you know, I was helping operate a lot of it and also market a lot of it. So it was a lot of great experience for me managing 300 employees at sort of a young age.
So what are all the people out there in the world of marketing and funnels and shit like that? Info selling, info products, high ticket offers, coaching.
Yep.
What are they doing wrong? Most of them.
They're scared to spend money. They're like, that's the biggest thing. Yeah.
Scared. I always tell people like, dude, what do you think that money's for? It's to be used.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're afraid to spend money. What else?
They don't know how to get attention, like the flamboyant red, right? Like, and like you said, most people.
Like glasses inside.
Yeah. Like people.
I'm serious.
Yeah. People are scared to spend money. They're scared to get attention.
If somebody said, listen, I'm going to develop a character and this character is just a character. It's not really me. You know what, he's going to be, you know, this and he's going to be that. And, you know, and all of a sudden you start acting like this character walking around town. If you just continuously like a Hulk Hogan, that's a character.
Yeah, it's a character. Yeah.
Right. Rudy is a character. Yeah. I'm a character just by accident. I mean, I'm just a character, but I think I'm the character because dude, my perspective is a little bit different than most, but I believe you have to be a character.
Yeah. Or your brand does.
That's so, are they, there's people making mistakes out there because they're not making millions of dollars on funnels and Facebook ads. So what are they doing wrong? They're not spending money. Okay. What if they had $1 million to spend? Where should they spend it?
Yeah. Well, they don't know how to spend it correctly is next thing, right? Like you need to build basically your only goal as a business owner in the early days, in my opinion, is building a system where you can spend $1 million and make $2 million back. Then you can spend $10 million and make $20 million back. Until you have that, don't write blogs, don't worry about anything else, all the, you know, BS shiny objects. And like that's what I've always done. And that's how I've built 8-figure companies, 7-figure companies myself real fast. Within 2 years, I built a $10 million company and like $7 or $8 million companies within a year, just because I got that one thing really, I got really good at that one thing and super focused on that one thing.
And that one thing is building funnels.
Yeah. Sales processes,
what were the products though?
Huh? What anything, e-commerce, coaching, education, fitness courses.
Did you ever worry if the shit was actually like doing its job?
Well, it was my own stuff. Yeah, I wouldn't ever put out.
Like, oh, it was your courses?
Yeah, all my stuff, yeah.
Okay, so you got courses.
Yeah, yeah, 40,000 students, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
My question for you is, how come you've never been on Lightspeed VT?
I don't know. That's why I'm here today.
Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I've got a lot of friends. And
so how would you sell a course or coach anybody not to be on it if you know what it is?
That's why I came here today.
You know what it is, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
See, most people don't. A lot of my friends use it. They think, well, they're just expensive.
No, we've told people, we've sent clients to you for years.
And I can tell people. Well, listen to this. Most people that get on it don't even realize what it can do.
Yeah.
Usually I'll get on a call with them, you know, 6 months, a year later, and they'll be like, well, no one even told me they could do this. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, that's the problem, is because it's like a PowerPoint. You know how to make PowerPoints? Mm-hmm. There's people that can make them way better than me. Same software.
Sure.
And they're like, why didn't you tell me you could do that? Well, anyway, but long story short, the reason why people should use it, and you included, is because when you drive 40,000 people through a course, if you don't ask them any questions and make any offers, nothing's going to happen.
For sure.
So moving forward, if I'm going to drive people to a course, I want that course to be interactive.
Yeah, 100%.
And that interactivity allows me to modify and customize the course for the individual.
Yep.
But it also allows me to make offers that I call them convenience, you know, opportunities. Yeah. Like, hey, you're going to need a workbook. Convenient. I'll ship you that one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, you're going to want your own jacket. Bang. I'll ship you this one.
Well, that was my next thing. So yes, the other biggest mistake is lifetime value. So that's what I teach all the time, is we make 10 times more for every customer that we bring in the front door. I didn't used to. I learned this because I studied billion-dollar brands. I'm like, it's very hard to name a billion-dollar company that doesn't make a lot of revenue per customer and resell. Like, so I asked this on stage. I'm like, who can name a billion-dollar company that doesn't make more money per customer you only ever buy with that thing one time? And one time someone said, a yacht. And I said, have you ever owned a yacht? He goes, no. I said, you know people that own a yacht? He said, no. I said, I know a lot of people that own a yacht, and they get a new yacht every 3 years. It breaks down, costs them $500,000. I'm like, you spend a lot of money with that yacht company. You don't ever have one yacht, right? Same with jets. So like, there's no billion-dollar brand where you only pay it once, because they understand lifetime value, right? It's like Apple, you're probably going to spend $50,000 with Apple over your lifetime. And that's why they outbid everyone else and can outmarket and outpromote everyone else.
Okay, so now talk about how do you create a character?
Okay,
like you said, get attention, like the jacket.
Yeah, you got to get attention. It's not rule number one, because there's so much noise and BS in the marketplace, right? And all the biggest e-commerce brands in the world that are successful have a signature product, or they have something they stand for. Every influencer, the biggest influencers, have a character, right? Like these ones that go viral.
What's my character?
I think you're like the no BS, which is why I like you. Smart sales, like, and your outlook on business.
See, I need a color or a jacket, or I need something.
I did the color thing, right? And that's like my.
But to me, like, I'd never do that, because now you're limited, bro.
In what way? Owning
you
a
can
color?
Only you can only wear red.
Yeah, I know, but it's a sacrifice I guess I got to make.
I know, but like, dude,
I love red.
You don't like black?
No, I got a whole closet that's black. I used to wear
but
black.
But you can't
all the
wear
time.
It now.
Why? I wear it in secret.
Because you made a choice where you limited your abilities.
I just wear it around the house. Like, let's go on a date in this room because I can't leave.
Have you ever been out in public in a black shirt?
Yeah, I have still. Yeah. But I'm not quite famous yet where people in downtown know me just yet.
So you weren't branding yet.
Yeah, I've got to a point where events and stuff in our space, I'm always in red because everyone knows me, but a few more years until the whole world knows me.
And it's
more.
Not just red, dude. It's like extra red.
Extra red, yeah. Always. And the whole employees.
Like, I bet you if you do suits, dude, it's like a freaking suit, the whole bit. Pocket square.
Yep.
Cufflinks.
And every employee. They're not
cufflinks?
Yeah.
No.
We have custom cufflinks, yeah.
Got to, bro.
Yep.
Okay. Don't be trying to look slick in a suit without cufflinks.
No, we do have cufflinks.
You ever see those dudes? They got the badass suits on, and then they got buttons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, dude, come on. You got to have French cuffs, and you got to have cufflinks if you're going to be fully dressed.
Yeah.
And like you got to have a pocket square.
And a pocket square.
You don't
sure.
need a vest just because, you know, some people think that three piece is the only way to go. No, you can wear a two piece, but the shirt better be French cuff and cufflinks.
Yep.
Or you're not dressed, my man.
Yeah, I like that.
But I wouldn't want to be pigeonholed into only red. You can never go around Crips.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You are not going to be able to sell Crips.
Yeah.
Doesn't that bother you?
Yeah, I'll be okay. I mean, the red for us is like pros and cons, like everything in life, right? Like for us, it's we've done $1 million deals off the red, and that's all I needed to hear when I started seeing that coming in. I'm like, we're all in. So every staff, we have 40 employees in our office in Tampa. They're not allowed in the building if they're not in red. Like it's in our office, 10,000 square foot. It's all red and white.
It'd be better if you just did it once a month.
Yeah, but nah, because we're always filming and stuff, right? So if like I'm filming in there every day, and then in the background everyone's in random stuff, it doesn't look as good either.
So, dude, it's like a show.
It's like a show. People come visit.
And you're
visit.
Doing it intentionally.
Yeah, people come visit. Like people pay obviously tens of thousands of dollars to fly in for the day and come work there for 2 hours.
Do they have to wear red?
No, they don't. But some of them do. Like we get interviewed. People show up for interviews now. We do like we hire about 5 people a week. So we're hiring fast, and some of them show up in red just to try and, you know, kind of get a head start.
So somebody needs to get a kind of a idea of what to do to get attention. Yep. What are some ideas?
You got to look at, like, color's a big thing. I always say irresistible offer if you're marketing. We spend a lot of time, like, with our own. So here's an example. Last Black Friday, we did a promotion for our course, right? My team handed me the pieces of paper with all the ideas as I set up in front of the camera to film. And I look at them. I don't like any of them. I throw the paper to the side, and I'm like, just start the recording. And I make up this offer in my head. And a year later, this offer's done $8 million now. And I made it up as I was filming it at the same time. No clue how we'd fulfill it because it was a stupid offer. And we ran Black Friday. It was so good. We ran it into Christmas. And we turned the Black Friday ads off in February. And we turned the Christmas ads off in May. And then we just made them evergreen. And now we already restarted the Black Friday ads from last year.
Are people missing out if they're not advertising on Black Friday?
I mean, in general, yeah, if you're not advertising, because you've got to be creative. How can you take what you're selling right now and adapt it to Christmas and Black Friday? Because people want to spend money. People want to spend money right now.
So why do you think that is?
It's ingrained in the culture. America, corporate America did that.
Is it to get rid of any profits?
I don't think it's to get rid of. I mean, I think people want to spend money because they want an excuse to spend money.
Well, I mean, also right? In the last quarter of the year, you want to get rid of all the profits.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Naturally for tax reasons.
Yeah. Well, and they want to hit, I mean, it just became a thing where earnings goals, right? In Wall Street and then the growth of the company, a lot of companies have to actually hit crazy goals now at a corporate level. So smaller businesses like us can take advantage of that and play that game.
So if somebody wants to say, you know, how do I do Facebook ads and funnels? You got courses for that shit?
Yeah, lots of courses, but it's more the frameworks. The biggest mistake everyone makes with Facebook is they think it's all about Facebook. It's not. It's about if you get the right business model offer, like how you position the product, and then you get the right sort of landing page and copy, the Facebook ads are the easiest part. But most people don't realize that. So it's like throwing spaghetti against a wall and it's never going to work because they never had the offer down. They never had the products down. They never had that dialed in. And like Facebook ads is so easy with a good offer that like I used to have my ex-girlfriend set up ads. I've had my mom set up ads. I've had like my assistant set up ads. Like if they're sat with me in a hotel room, I'm like, hey, just duplicate this, do that, and do it 10 times and change the headline to this 10 times. That's the easy part if the offer and the business model is like really solid.
Yeah, but how do you make the offer?
Well, that's creativity. That's one of my secrets, right? I think the secret
is that why someone would hire your firm?
Yeah, a lot of time. Yeah, in 1 hour, we can add millions of dollars to their company by just taking what they think they're selling, repositioning it, tweaking it, giving them a better positioning statement, and then they're off to the races. Yeah.
Hmm. What's Mauer Capital or Mower? More.
There's more money, more capital. It's our holding company. So we have like subdivisions. So we do some celebrity marketing where we're taking their education and influence and then building courses for them. And then we take equity in businesses and we'll handle all the marketing and take the equity in exchange to grow it. And then we have the education and mastermind side where we're helping businesses grow.
Do you put those all over the world or just in Tampa?
Yeah, no, we got massive. I mean, we got a lot of students, Australia, UK, Singapore, Dubai, obviously a lot in US, Canada.
Is there tons of money in that space?
I mean, it does well for us because there's obviously in America is bigger space, but more competition. We have so many Australian clients pay us on our 50 and 100K program. And my team were like, why? Because to them, it's another 25K more because the exchange rate. And I'm like, and I started asking the 50 and 100K clients, I'm like, why? And they're like, there's no one at your level in Australia that's doing this. So I guess they have a lack of like that authority and expert status. And yeah, so I mean, a lot of companies should go international. They just don't think about it. Or again, it's like a limiting belief that they couldn't scale internationally.
Hmm. So out of all the deals you've put together, which one's been your fave?
I mean, I've done some great deals with smaller businesses where we 4-5X them, where they're smaller companies that are synergistic to what we do. So one company I co-own is a big podcast production company. One is a big referral company where they build custom referral programs, right? So it's stuff that, hey, all of our clients and members need this. It's super synergistic. And they had an amazing product, amazing service. I helped reposition the offer. So I rebranded the podcast company. It was called, you know, just a podcast company. I said, what do you do really well when we partnered? He goes, I just get really top guys ranked on podcasts. I said, well, why don't you call it Top 10 Podcasts? He said, oh, that's a good idea. And then it like 4X, because now we took something, right? It's a prime example of the question you asked. We took something that was already good, a good business that had great clients and results, and then we just repositioned it. One sentence like that.
I've seen that on social media, I think.
Yeah, my ads, my team, yeah. But
you?
Yep. But you wouldn't have, you've probably seen it for years as a podcast growth company.
Not for years.
Well.
Recently.
Because of me, right? But it was advertising before me as a random podcast company. And then in the last year when we took equity in it and rebranded it.
Well, top 10, and then the offer, something like, I guarantee I'd put you in the top 10 or... It's free or some shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That was exactly.
So they didn't, you just walked in and said, did you do something like
he
this?
He literally drove up from Miami to Tampa, sat in my office, and I said, let's call it
that this. Was an easy slam dunk.
4X. Yeah. 4X in a year after.
And it'll continue to grow because people always want to be in the top 10 on the podcast.
Yes. Irresistible offer.
Like someone sent me this because I was in the top 10 once. Yep. I didn't pay anyone to be in the top 10, but. I was in there once, and I can't figure out how to get back there. All you need to start freaking sharing, bitches. But, you know, if I could hire the top 10 podcasts that would guarantee me in the top 10 without any Ricky bullshit, well, then I'd hire you.
Exactly, right? Because it's a very clear, obvious offer, and it talks to what you want within that realm of business.
Well, not only that, I mean, dude, if you get an actual top 10 podcast, you've got what's called a platform.
Yeah,
that
millions,
platform can
millions.
Be used to...
Yeah, make millions, yeah.
Generate millions, impact lives,
for sure.
Create awareness, you know, sway votes.
Yeah, everything.
Anything.
Everything, yeah, exactly.
So do you think if somebody, like, do you know of anybody out there that would, in the influencer space, that you would say, dude, I could take his brand and do way bigger than he is with it?
Well, next month we're launching Floyd Mayweather, so that'll be interesting.
What do you mean you're launching him?
We're building it all out, filming with him next week in LA.
Filming what?
Well, we created
He's already a brand.
Yeah, but I created, like, so with him, obviously, this will be out after that, so it's fine. But we come in and just create the offer. So I'm creating a 7-day money and mindset challenge with him.
So you're making up a product for them to stamp.
Yeah, we just did Mike Tyson, 12 rounds with Tyson, mindset challenge. So we come in, build that out, film, manage it all, then promote it. And run all the ads and marketing. So that's like.
And then what's his piece?
We do 50-50 partnership.
All right. Dirty dog. See, we got to figure out how now you slide him into the old VT universe.
Let's do it.
Because that pays forever.
No, let's do it. Yeah.
Like Grant Cardone, when I first met him, nobody knew who he was. We put him on Lightspeed, put him in the car business, got him out of the car business. Okay. Bang, 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 bang. Now he's probably doing, you know, 5-6 million a month just off.
Yep.
Our system alone, which doesn't include 10X and all the shit he's got going. But that's just, you know, it's pretty decent, 5-6 million a month.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
But the key, obviously, is promotion.
Sure.
You know, he's a good showman.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
So, like, I think anybody that's noticeable is a showman.
Yeah, for sure. You have to. I mean, if you're a personal brand, I think you almost have to be, right? And that was, for me, what I learned, because I was good as an expert. And then I was like, hey, if I want to impact millions of people and really grow this brand to that level, I have to do exactly what you said. I have to create some uniqueness. I have to help. You know, I think one thing that Grant talks about a lot is like, you have to be a little polarizing too. Like a lot of people, again, I think it's society, is like, you've got to please everyone, right? And it's like, when you please everyone, you please no one. So that for me was a big mindset shift many years ago. Is like, hey, it's okay not to please everyone. It's okay to have some people that hate your stuff too, right? Because there's millions of people that love your stuff, and that's what's important.
So, what's important?
That you've got, as long as you've got millions of people that love your stuff too, right? If everyone hates you, then there's a problem. But you don't need to have everyone love your stuff.
Just, is it possible that everyone hates you?
I mean, maybe there's definitely some.
No.
I mean, yeah, I guess
it's not possible.
Even in history, right? There's no one, even the worst people of history that had lots of people that loved them.
Dude, so, there's an ass for every seat.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to tell people.
Yeah.
You know, too many people are so afraid of the hate that they'll never find the love.
100%. Yeah.
But you find the love within the hate.
For sure.
But you have to be ballsy enough to wear the red jacket, so to speak. You have to be ballsy enough to put that shit on social media.
Yep. Yeah. And most people are scared, so they'll never live to their true potential.
So if I called Tai Lopez right now and said, hey, what do you think of Rudy? What would he say?
Yeah, I mean, he'd say good
things. So you guys are still buddies?
Yeah.
Would he say, oh, he's freaking awesome?
Yeah, I mean, he'd say that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good testimonial. Who else? Who else do you know? Do you know a lot of these guys, like Alex Hormozy, Sam Evans, gurus, Russell Brunson?
I was supposed to be with Sam last night. I was with David Meltzer. He said hi, actually. He told me to say hi
Meltzer,
to you.
Yeah.
So, and then, I was supposed to be in LA with Sam. Alex, I mean, me and him started in the fitness space, so we've known each other for many years. And Russell, we're chatting a lot these days, me and Russell, because we're building the landing pages for the celebs and ClickFunnels. So that's really cool for him too.
Well, so ClickFunnels is a good tool if you want to easily build landing pages.
Yeah, it changed my, I started 10 years ago when it didn't exist, and hiring Indians in the Philippines to build WordPress funnels. And I probably aged 10 years in 6 months trying to explain how to build a WordPress funnel to them when I had no staff or money, right? And then it's like many years later, it's like now you can do it in softwares like that. So that's what I was saying to you earlier. There's never been a better time to make money online. Never been a better time. Like, so easy. I started making money on the internet 20 years ago when I was like 10 years old selling on eBay. I figured out the internet early on. But like now, it's just a world of opportunity, and it's just most people's own limiting beliefs that stopping them. Because you can go on YouTube and learn everything you need to know. You just got to go do it.
So give them 3 steps to follow if they want to make money online easily right now.
Sure. Come up with a product or service that someone wants to actually buy. Most people make that first mistake.
Yeah, but again, I mean, it could be coffee.
Could be anything. But it's got to be a little unique too. That's extra.
Doesn't have to be unique.
But it's going to help. If you got some sort of unique angle or something, right? Even branding or price.
Well,
or
being
color.
Unique does help, but I'm saying, like, you know, McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, Five Guys, keep it going. Smash Burger, Habit Burger.
Yeah.
There's plenty of room.
I agree for sure.
But they're all unique.
Yeah, they've got some aspect to it. That's all I say. Yeah. So product, and then the, like I said, your next obsession after that should just be, how can I spend as much money as possible profitably or break even to grow the brand? Most people are scared to do that. Like, I spend 15, 20 grand a day now on my own stuff, which isn't much in my eyes. Like, I wake up every single day annoyed that I'm not spending 100 grand a day. Until I do, I'll be annoyed every single day. And when I spend that much every day, I'll be annoyed I'm not spending $1 million a day. Because to me, that's impact. As more I spend on ads, the more impact I can make, more people I'll help, more my brand will grow, the more I'll help change the world. So, like, you need that obsession. I think next.
How come you can't spend more?
For me, it's like more of an operational logistics thing. We could easily spend 50 grand a day, probably, but we need more. We have 17 sales reps, so we'd need more good sales reps. We need more coaches. So, it's like we have to build it in staggers.
So, it's not just a matter of spending money. It's, well, when you gotta scale the business.
When you get to a, But that's not most people's problems, right? Like, most people's problems is customers and sales. But once you get that figured out, then you get other problems in business. You get legal, you get employees, you get health, you know, you get all the operational stuff, but that's business.
Well, because I look at myself as an example.
Yeah.
I don't really have funnels and all that shit. Coaching.
Sure.
Even though I could.
Yeah.
And I kind of do, but I don't.
But I think that would grow your brand. That is just a vehicle for me.
I know, but would this be something that I would hire you to do for me? Would you come in and invent the product?
I could, yeah. Sometimes I come in for half a day and just whiteboard it and then build it, like with the celebrities.
And all you're doing is just thinking about shit you've seen in the past.
That's my superpower, yeah. Like, I sat with Floyd's team for an hour and I said, this is what I want to do. This is why. These are all the things. This is the upsells, the cross sells. We'll do a yacht high ticket. Come on the yacht, hang out. Boom, done. Right? And they loved it.
And people paid it? I mean, is it running?
Well, Floyd's isn't. We're building that out. But Tyson's is.
When's that thing launch?
Probably January 1st. Yeah.
Tyson's a dangerous one. What if he wants to stop it? You ever see that interview where he goes, you got to go?
Yeah.
If I was that dude, I'd have been gone. I wouldn't even have said what. Yeah. I'd have said, see you, sir. I apologize. And I'd have backed out quickly.
Yeah. I've done partnerships with athletes, celebrities, stuff like that for many years because I started in smaller people in the fitness space. So you just have to learn, like, it's like what relationships, right? What do they want? What do they need? How can I support them? What's their personality, right? And obviously, like everything, it's not without its challenges, but I think it's awesome to be able to help someone as iconic as these people that have done so well to like now get their message out at a different level, because most of them don't do these like masterclass paid courses. They have all their free content, which is great, but as you know, when people pay, they pay attention. That's what I think. So to help them do that is like the content's better because it's he sat down and he cares and he's spending a whole day on it versus a random interview for 20 minutes. It's a different level of content.
So you're picking and choosing who you work with, or you can work with anyone that has the money?
No, we want to, selective, because we probably, as a company, you know, and I have a couple of partners that help, we could probably only do 4 to 6 a year. So we want to pick like good brands and good brands and people that we think we could work with well long term that we could create good products for. Yeah.
And are those people like pleased as punch that you've selected them?
No, I mean, they get hit up hundreds of times a month, right? So I don't think any of them are pleased until, and it's early days, but most of these guys, I'm sure none of them will be pleased until they're making tens of millions of dollars, and then they'll be happy, right?
Yeah, they'll be like, damn, that was worth it.
Yeah, because they get pitched. I mean, you know how it is. Like, we're not Floyd Mayweather, but I still get pitched 20 times a day. I'm sure you get pitched 50 times a day, right? For a bunch
I get attempts.
Yeah, of course.
I shut them down quick.
Yeah, you drink. Yeah, but that's how it is for them times 100, right? So it's for them, it's like a risk at start because it's time, energy, and it's their brand.
Yeah, we got all Floyd Mayweather gyms on Lightspeed, training the franchisees.
That's cool.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
I hung out with Floyd a couple times. I brought him to the hockey game once.
Oh, nice.
Someone's texting me and they're like, dude, that dude next to you looks like Floyd Mayweather. I text back. I took a picture. I go like this. He's like, dude, how the fuck are you sitting next to Floyd Mayweather? I said, I brought him, dude.
Yeah.
Which he met me there, but I didn't bring him.
Sure.
But dude, Floyd's a cool dude.
Yeah.
He's going to be a big one for you.
I think he'd be great. Dude, I'm excited.
He's a massive brand.
And he thinks differently about money, which is what I want to teach, because like how he sees it, people think, probably on the outside, a lot of people think it's just stupid and outrageous, but he's very smart, super smart at business.
Oh, yeah, he's no dumb dude.
No, super smart. So I want to help teach that to the world.
Well, that's going to be a big one. I like the Tyson one, too.
Yeah, mindset. Everyone needs that.
And, dude, not only that, I've been to a few events where Tyson was talking as well, and I'd sit around, obviously, I want to listen to what he has to say, you know, and he actually says some pretty deep shit.
It's good, yeah. It's actually good. It's great stuff.
You know,
yeah.
Especially when he starts to, you know, tear up a little bit. I mean, dude, that dude's feeling what he's saying. Mm-hmm. That's why I like listening to Tyson.
100%.
And not only that, I still think he, by far, he's the greatest ever in the sport. Most fun to watch, let's put it that way.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Dude, how old are you again?
31.
Yeah, you might not have been around.
I've watched it though.
But dude, Tyson was a freaking beast.
Oh yeah.
He was a freaking animal. Like when he walked in, dude, people were shitting their pants. and just
well, he says
all
that
his fights kept being like in seconds, and everyone's like, come on, spend all this money, it was 20 seconds.
So he actually teaches that in the course with him. He teaches the moment his career changed is when he learned about fear, and he said that he was losing because he was so scared to get in the ring. And then when he realized he could own fear and the competitor had way more fear than him, he never looked like he just kept winning. And he teaches a whole module on that.
Where's his course?
Well, it's online right now.
I know, but where? Like on Kajabi or some shit?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
We'll get it hooked up here, yeah.
Dude, how many, let me ask you a question. When I go through his course, how many questions did you harvest from me?
Oh, I mean, there's going to be...
When I go through the course, how many questions did you ask me?
Did he ask to the consumer?
Yeah, like, well, again, it's your product, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when someone goes through the course, how many questions are you asking those people the course?
Yeah, not as many as we would.
How many?
I don't know. We'd have to figure that out.
What do you mean?
Because with him, it's hard to script, right? Like, I get where you go into segment and stuff.
No, that's not. You don't even have to use him. My question's simple.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay? Yeah,
but no,
right now. Don't try to think what I want you to say. I just say the answer.
No, right now, not many is the answer.
How many?
Probably 5, because we ask for upsell, like upsell and cross sell.
In the video?
Not in the video. On the pages where the videos are embedded.
Okay, so in the video, how many questions are you asking?
No, there's none.
None?
None.
How many offers are you making in the video?
Yeah, none. On the pages.
None.
Yeah.
Okay, how many, and again, common sense. How many do you think, or let me say it this way. Do you think that if you asked questions and made offers in the video, that anybody
100%
would engage and or buy?
Yeah, 100%.
So why aren't you doing that?
Well, it's hard with a celebrity, just, you know, like a little.
It's hard with Kajabi.
Well, sure.
Because you can't do it with Kajabi.
No, the platforms don't support.
See, Lightspeed lets you make interactive content.
Yeah.
To where, dude, I've had Tony Robbins in this studio and I had to coach his ass.
Okay.
And it felt awkward. And I'd hate to be the one to do it with Mike, but I would do it with Mike too. If Mike just walked in here, he'd say, "Hey, Brad, how are you?" I met him a couple of times. So, and I know he knows me because I was driving home one day and I saw him sitting out on the street.
Yep.
And I'm driving by and I'm like, "Fuck, there's Mike just sitting there on this thing right when I turn in." And then there's a gate to my left. There's a gate to my right, which is the guy that owns eBay.
Yeah.
And then you go down and then there's a gated community where Mike lived. Well, he was all the way up on the top of the hill, Eastern and Grand Hills up here.
Yeah.
And he was just sitting there and I rolled down the window and I said, "Mike," he looked up, he goes, "Hey, Brad." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Me and my girl got in an argument. I'm cooling off." I said, "All right, dude, if you need a ride or anything, I live right there." Yeah. He goes, "Thanks, Brad." I'm like, "Fuck, Mike Tyson knows my name."
That's good.
Yeah. But
next time we film, 6 months from now.
Well, again, dude, let's make it interactive. Let's put it on Lightspeed.
I like that.
Lightspeed. Then you would get more.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Your last name's more.
I get it.
If you want to get more, here's what you do. You embed interactive questions within the video, and based on those answers and choices, it determines what's offered and suggested.
Yep.
So like, for example, if I'm a broke guy and I'm going through his mindset course, and some of the questions might indicate that I'm working for a company and I'm making less than $30,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you offer me the $50,000 mastermind?
Sure. 100%.
Stupid.
Yep.
However, you might offer me the, you know, $50 next level course, or even a weekly. Will Mike do weekly?
He's doing
calls?
Monthly Zoom. Yeah.
Dude, if he'd fucking do that, I'm joining.
Yeah. It's cool, right?
Like, I'd love to just join, have Mike go, "What do you want to know?"
Yep.
Cause dude, that dude's fucking seen some shit.
That's what I mean. That's why I love this. Cause they got a lot of knowledge and talent up there. So it's just helping get it out.
So, but I can go buy the course right now.
Mm-hmm. 12 rounds with Tyson.
And it's all a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
12 rounds with Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying it before you guys walk out.
Let's
of the do door.
It.
How much is it?
$49.
That's it?
Yeah, because it's a low ticket. Yeah, it's low ticket.
Hold on, $49?
Yep.
Why would it be only $49? Do you have an affiliate program?
Bomb Squad.
They're all going to buy it now without me.
Do /Brad.
/Brad.
12 rounds of Tyson /Brad.
All right, go make it, dude. I'm telling you, you'll get a fuckload of people doing it for $49.
100%.
Dude, I had a guy come on here one time, talk about shit that he did was $20,000 a pop. He called me 3 days after the episode dropped and he goes, "Dude," I said, "What?" He goes, "Dude, your listeners are real." And I'm like, "Well, of course they are." And he said, dude, I've been on a lot of podcasts and like, I can't tell when they drop the episode, but my shit's blowing up. He goes, I've already done $1 million.
Oh shit.
And I said, on what? He said, my product. And I'm thinking, fuck, people have 20 grand that are listening to me. Shit. Where they got 20 grand coming from?
That's great.
But he sold the shit out of his 20 grand product, $49 product. Shit, dude. Where's the link?
Good. Yeah. 12 rounds with Tyson.com/Brad.
Set that up.
Yeah.
Guys, listen, if you don't go get your mindset right, there's a big issue in life. Because if you ask me, anyone that wants to be unstoppable, mindset, skill set, habits.
Mm-hmm.
If 100%. You get your mindset right, your skill sets right, and your habits right, you can do any damn thing you want.
For sure.
Period. There's no argument there. Like, I'd love to hear someone argue that.
You can't, yeah.
So when someone goes, okay, well, it's inarguable. Okay, well, then that makes it a fact. Okay, if it's a fact, then that makes things pretty easy. All I got to do is fucking work on my mindset. Shit, Tyson will train you for $49. Yeah. Like, come on, dude. Yeah. How's that even possible? Yeah. And then I can plug into monthly Zoom calls with his ass.
Yep.
Shut up. Is that an upsell?
$199.
But it's an upsell?
Yeah.
Dude, how many people are buying that thing right now?
Yeah, we get about 20% take the upsell, and then we've got the back end on the top is 10K for a yacht day.
Hang out with Mike.
Yep.
See, a lot of people might be afraid of that.
Yeah, but you get people like, but we're doing the first one of those in January or February.
But I think you'll do better with the other guy. What's the other guy?
Who, Floyd?
Yeah, Floyd.
Yeah.
Yeah, Floyd. Because Floyd isn't known for beating everybody up. I'm going to try to get Mike on the podcast. Tell Mike to come on my podcast.
Okay. A lot of people would pay 10K to probably get punched by Tyson.
Fuck, I wouldn't, dude. I just want to hang out with him, dude, and listen to his stories.
Well, that's the point, yeah.
Because, dude, he's got some stories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, off-the-mic stories. You listen to his podcast?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called...
He's got some
what's it called? Hotbox or something? Hotboxing with Mike?
Yeah, something like that.
Dude,
that's
freaking awesome.
Yeah.
$49 course. Say one more time.
12roundswithtyson.com/Brad.
There you go, folks. Go get that shit. Make me rich. Have a million of you get a $49 deal. But that's awesome, dude. That's going to make you some dough. So are you looking for other celebrities? Because I do have sometimes celebrities listening.
Yeah.
I know a couple people that play for the Raiders. They follow me.
Okay, good. Yeah.
They listen to the podcast. So if I'm a personal brand, if I'm out there listening and I'm somewhat of a known person, what can you do for me?
Yeah, I mean, same thing, right? As long as we can build a really cool product that can help a lot of people and you've got enough influence, we come in, build it on RevShare, and then hopefully grow it together.
Do you manage like all the events and everything?
Everything.
You want's half.
You show up, film, do your
thing.
You just
show up and be the star.
Yep.
Shit, dude. Maybe see if I can qualify for that program.
I mean,
program.
We got my company now. Like, I have a couple of partners, and I have 90 employees and staff right now. So we have a big team that does all my stuff. We do the equity businesses I co-own. So we have the staff and the systems to grow a lot of cool stuff. That's my goal, right? I want to be a billionaire. There's very few billion-dollar companies without a lot of employees. So I'm all about if I keep growing the team and invest in great people, it'll help me reach my goal faster.
100%.
Yeah.
A team is important.
Yeah.
If you can find one. A lot of times the top level people, they're already doing it themselves.
Well, I built...
Like, I can't hire you to come be my CMO, can I?
No. You could hire me to do an hour with your CMO that would make him 10 times better. That's how I see...
I know, but then my CMO will quit.
Mm, yeah. You have to find the right one.
All I'm saying is eventually, dude, when you're dealing with the top guys, you can't get the top guys because the top guys are doing their own thing.
You have to train the top.
You got to do a level down.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to do a level that doesn't need to be the top guy. There's people out there that are like kick-ass number twos because they don't want to be number one.
Well,
That's who you're looking for.
I hire a lot from corporate like that because they don't know this. They don't even have an Instagram account kind of thing, but they've managed teams of 300 employees. That's like my COOs came from corporate. And they're great because it took them a while to learn the entrepreneur side of it, but they're going to be with me 10 years. They don't have a goal of, you know, it's like when I was like, yeah, I'm going to Grant Cardone's, one of them was like, who's that? You know, so it's that sort of, but for running the operations of my business and working with my attorneys and working with all my, you know, people I'm in business with and running teams and managing teams effectively, they're better than most people.
Well, I just got judged because I've had, you know, 5-6 camera guys in the last couple of years. And I'm like, well, dude, camera guys are kind of earning some money while they're
creative.
They're doing their thing. They're like creatives. Like they don't, you're not going to see a camera guy that wants to be a camera guy for 30 years.
Yeah.
They're doing camera shit to freaking either hang with the celebrity. Cause a lot of people, ask me, can I come be your camera guy? I'm like, are you one? Cause I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to have camera guys walking around for free all day just cause they want to hear what I'm saying. But they're not going to be there forever.
Well, a lot of them want to go do their own thing, right? Just piggybacking, And you had some roles, you learn that, and some roles, like for us, it's all about, we interview 600 people a month. We have like this, I built this like lead generation system.
How do you train them all?
Just.
Kajabi?
I'm not going down that one again. Department heads and SOPs and just lots of Loom videos. Lots of Loom videos and SOPs. No, okay, pre-built.
Well, let me just consult you for a moment.
Yeah.
Because you're usually doing the consulting.
Yeah.
When it comes to training, number one, I invented the space 21 years ago. No one was doing it when I started. Here's the trick with training people online. Good content, repetition, practice, and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Most people say, watch this video, and that doesn't train people. That just exposes them.
Sure.
If you really want to train somebody, there has to be good content, the right way to do it in the first place. So whatever that is, could be yours, could be his, could be anybody's. Depends on who's the expert. But the good content's out there. Would you agree?
Yep.
So you get the good content, and then you deliver it with repetition, which is what most people fail. Because as soon as you tell me to watch it, what do I tell you? I already watched that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I understood it.
Understood it, yeah.
And doesn't mean I internalized it. Doesn't mean that now it's part of my behavior.
Belief system, yeah.
So guess what? What do? You beat it into my head, and that's what no one wants to hear, the truth. The truth is repetition.
Yeah.
And then practice, which most companies fail at. They let them practice on customers instead of virtual customers. Sure. That's like, they're just pretend.
Yeah, yeah.
And then last but not least, accountability. We teach people what to say and do, but we don't follow up to see if they're actually doing it and holding them accountable and forcing them to do those things, especially even as employers, because we get, I mean, I have hundreds of employees at my several companies. I'm not babysitting what they're doing down here. They could literally be making me look like an idiot. Like, Brad, I thought you said you do all this. Well, again, we try, don't we?
Sure.
So how do you do that manually? You try.
Well, sure. Yeah.
But if you took all that good content that you guys are delivering manually over and over again, differently, by the way, inconsistently, more than likely.
Yeah.
And you put it into a multi-million platform. Dollar interactive training and communication platform.
I wish I knew one. I just never found one, you know?
And then you'd have the ability to deliver good content with repetition, practice, and accountability, because you could press a button and see who's logging in, who's not.
You should create that.
I think I should.
You should.
That's a good idea. I'm doing it. Folks, you guys can follow this dude on Instagram at Rudy Moore Life. M-A-W-E-R. Rudy Moore Life. And then Rudy Moore everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Instagram is Rudy Moore Life.
Yep.
Are you checkmarked?
Yep.
They'll find you there.
Yep. Yeah. And
What do you think of Elon's, actually it's Elon, by the way.
Elon.
Just so you know, if you ever run into him.
Okay.
You know, I'm still going to ask, but someone that supposedly knows him, because talked to him, was talking to me one time, and I said, dude, get Elon on my podcast. And he said, who? And I said, Elon, bro. And he said, Elon who? And I said, Elon Musk, dude. He said, it's not Elon. It's Elon.
Elon.
And I said, oh, Elon? That's his name? His name's Elon. I'm like, oh, okay. So now every time someone says Elon, because everyone does,
yeah,
I correct them.
Oh, wow.
And I could be incorrect.
Yeah, that's
incorrecting them, but I do it anyway.
Yeah. Well, one day let me know when you meet him.
Dude, what do you think of Elon's actions on Twitter, giving everybody an $8 check mark?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think that. I mean, does it make sense to us guys? No. Does it make sense for him mass market to build a subscription revenue and add something to the company? Maybe. I guess that's his theory. I don't.
It's a dumb theory.
Number one,
verification should be hard exactly. Well, it's not hard to get, but there has to be a process.
Yeah,
like
it needs
I'm verifying people.
Yeah.
Like Twitter is verifying this person.
Yeah.
So if I can just pay $8 and you'll verify me because I paid $8.
It should be a different color or something, at least, is what I say. People ask.
Well, then it's not the same thing.
No.
Bottom line is you should not be able to, if you want to charge for verification, cool. But then, you know, verify. So as long as you verify for $8, then charge $80.
Yeah.
Because I would if I were Elon, but there would be no pay me and get a check mark that says we verified you.
Yeah, yeah.
When we didn't.
Yeah.
We have to actually verify you.
I agree.
So you have to show me your driver's license. Like I've had to do so much crazy shit with my, I think it's NFTs or crypto or MetaMask and, you know, all this crap. You have to really prove to you that you're them or that's you. That's what you need to do. Now, if they can do that for $8, God bless them.
I mean, they should do it for $1,000. Everyone would pay that. That's actually once verified.
Of course there are, dude. Yeah. I know people right now that say, Brad, how do I get a blue check mark?
Yeah, and I'm
like, I don't
know.
I know guys that claim they can do it. Yeah. And they're like, dude, I'll give you 10 G's. Tell them I'll give them 10 G's.
Yeah. Yeah.
10 G's.
People, I know people that have said they'll pay 20, 30.
But why? That check mark doesn't do much.
I don't know. It's like a, I don't know. It's
dude, listen, I got a check mark on all the platforms, and that check mark doesn't do anything other than what it's intended for.
Yeah.
Which is to verify those are, in fact, my accounts.
Yeah, I agree.
And
by
the way, all the people that are asking me, is this you? Is this you? I get a million DMs, and people are asking me if I'm into crypto, and I'm offering them these little side deals. Yeah. And I'm like, come on, bro. Like, what do you think? Is there a check mark by that account? Yeah, they're like, no. I'm like, dude, that's what verification means. Like, dude, don't listen to anything that doesn't have my blue check mark.
Yeah. You know those people doing that, though? It's funny because they would be great appointment setters and marketers. Dude, those guys are savage.
They're relentless.
Yeah. But it's like, why aren't normal staff like that?
And what about phishing scams? Like, dude, I see sometimes they send it to the wrong person, me.
Yeah.
And it's from me.
Well, or it's
and
your
friend. I'm like, I sent myself an email. So I open it up and it says, Bradley. And for a minute there, I'm like, fuck, what the hell?
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure it out until you look real closely in the email. It's like instead of my name, it's close to it.
Yeah.
Like Bradley at Lightspeed VT, like one extra E. And it's like, what?
So I got my buddy one time that someone was doing this. And then I played along with it on Instagram, and then I actually sent my friend it. I'm like, dude, just sent the 20K. So I text him. I'm like, a screen. I'm like, sent you the 20K. So excited to crush this. And he freaked out because he thought I had actually sent 20K to this random person. I'm like, yeah, you told me to. I thought we were doing this real estate deal. He's like, dude, it's a scam. I'm like, well, what do I do about the money then?
Well, you know a new scam right now to get your password? Believe it or not, I can't believe people are this stupid, but someone tried it on me the other day. I was playing with them for a while, but what they do is they say, hey, my phone's dead. I'm going to reset my Instagram account. I'll send the code to your phone. Tell me what it says.
Yeah. Seen that. Yeah.
And most people think, okay, it said 85092.
Yeah,
well, dude, just hit reset yours. And now all of a sudden your shit's gone.
And my staff, they do a lot because I got a lot of staff. They do it to all my staff. They'll send my staff a message like, hey, it's Rudy on my other phone. My phone died. Can you send me this login? Or can you send $100 to this client right away for a gift?
Dude, but they're slick nowadays.
But I show my staff that. I'm like, why aren't you this creative? It's a good thing. Like, why aren't normal people this creative? That's how you make a lot of money.
Yeah, well. It's not very ethical, but
no, I'm
creative.
Saying,
yes,
but I'm saying, you know, if you were, you know, obviously not with that, but the creative part's there. I admire that.
Folks, listen. Number one, if you want to follow this man, go to at Rudy Mower Life or Rudy Mower. You can go to Mower Capital, and then more importantly, go buy a $49 mindset from Mike Tyson. I'm gonna go do it, and I'm gonna quite frankly tell you right now, even though it's on Kajabi.
Sure.
It's worth more than $49.
Yeah, but for us, it's the mass market, and then it's taking the
people. But if they got 49, they got 99.
Yeah, maybe. We split test, I think, 97, 47 right now.
And what happened?
We're still running it.
Let me know what that is. Because you know I have hundreds of clients that you could help.
Yeah.
If you can really help people,
no, we can.
I have hundreds of them. They're not all big names, though, but a lot of them have solid content in a particular niche market. Right. Or is it niche?
I say niche. No, niche.
I only say niche. I only say niche because I can say the riches are in the niches, and you can't say it if it's in the niches. You'd have to say the riches are in the niches.
Riches in the niches. Yeah, there you go.
Folks, go follow this dude. Go get your mindset worked on. $49, 12 rounds with Mike Tyson.
12 rounds with Tyson/Brad.
12rounswithtyson.com/Brad. Just the /Brad. So if there's an affiliate commission, daddy gets paid. Till next time, keep that shit real.
Dropping bombs with the real Bradley. Subscribe now.